If you'd like to listen to Radio Free Brooklyn when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app for iPhone and Android, available in the App Store for iPhone or the Google Play Store for Android.
Please be sure to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for the latest news about new programming and upcoming RFB events. You can sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter.
You're now listening to Lost and Rewound
on Radio Free
Brooklyn.
Time to get it.
Welcome to you, one person or multiple people, to this occasion of which we have no predictability of.
Hello, lucky fifth listener.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Alon Danziger.
And I'm Will Hasty.
I'm Rachel Teichman.
We bring this to you every week on Radio Free Brooklyn from 3 to 4 on Thursdays as a way to bring you down into reality. That's right.
Ow!
As opposed to where whatever fucking shit show we're living in now, that's not reality.
Indeed.
Remember when you were younger and you recorded yourself on tape? I certainly do, and I did, and I made that show happen, and it's continuing to happen, and the rules just keep on getting rewritten. So if you have some audio from your past, some video from your past that's audio dominant, just like Rachel and Will and myself and countless other beautiful faces and voices have come to do time and time again on this show,
please contribute their beautifulness and their experiences to the wonderful backlog of beauty.
Yo, for
show
real.
Show us your toddlerhood.
Yo, email us, lostandrewound@radiofreebrooklyn.org. We also have episodes all up on the web that you could listen to on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, as well as our main site. That's radiofreebrooklyn.org/LAR, and the megaphone player of which is right below our information there. We had last week off. I was totally swamped with family who were visiting. We're glad to be returning. We do have a very odd, unusual, and rare
unique show.
It's unique New York, so it's only fair that we bring you a unique program for New York independent radio, freeform radio at its finest. This is Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're about to begin in just a little bit. This week in LNR, we are going to journey into the literary, and that is where my journals from middle school come in, and they are in front of me as we speak. It is daunting because I have admittedly not vetted all of this very much. I did read this first story that we're going to be diving into. I'm not sure how to do it, though, because I feel like I should be reading it, and maybe then after each chapter, which are short chapters.
People love each other very much.
Yes.
Wait, is this from 7th grade or 8th
This is 7th grade.
So, I think you just said it. Why not read chapter by chapter, and
yes,
we'll comment on it after every chapter.
Okay.
And then, let's say after half the show, then we can hop over to your 8th grade work.
As we've covered, music was pretty big. We've listened to a mixtape.
Indeed.
We've listened to me being awkward on the bus in middle school.
Awkward on the bus.
That's
it's a redundant thing to say.
Awkward on a bus.
But what we haven't gotten a chance to hear is how much I loved music, in so much as I found a way to interpolate the entire track listings to albums that I was listening to and had in my collection. This was basically me like cataloging every single album that I owned on CD, of which was probably like 10. 10 CDs or something. And then there's like a chapter towards the end where it's just like every song that I liked of an album that I wanted to buy and maybe didn't and maybe did. Some of them I did.
What was the first music you owned that you bought?
My first album that I remember getting was Siamese Dream by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Nice.
Are you second? Sear, you are older than me.
I am. By like 4 years, dude.
That is true.
5 years. I think the second album I got after that, well, I'm going to say it's probably Live Throwing Copper or the Off... No, it's Offspring Smash. It's absolutely the Offspring Smash.
Oh my God, no way.
My first,
which does not make an appearance in the story.
My first album was Green Day's Dookie.
Yes! Hey. High five. Me too. Me too. That
also my 11th grade English teacher.
I got that album first because it was either this girl who I consider my sister, Abby's album, or because it was literally just laying around the house.
Well,
it
became de facto yours.
It did. It did.
That, I got mine at a store. I was at this weird music store that I have no idea where it was. I was like 6 years old. My parents said I could get a CD, and I didn't really know what to look for, and I knew that I liked Green Day, and I liked the Dookie cover art, and I liked that it was called
Dookie.
What's
better than an atom bomb over a city?
It's a funny word. Dookie means poop, and yes, and that was my logic, and I got it.
Never had that album, but another Green Day album. Actually, I think the album that came out after Dookie makes an appearance in this story.
Which came out right after Dookie?
Was Insomniac before or after?
Insomniac, I believe it was after.
It was absolutely after.
Then it was Insomniac.
Was it right after Dookie?
I think so.
Let's comb through a little bit of these pages. What happens when you open up? You open up this
journal,
but we're talking just for our audience, just for the
this
people
is a
listening.
Journal that says like way too much
no
on
no
it.
but let's paint a picture. This is a quintessential
Mead composition.
Yeah, this is a journal.
Mead composition journal. Yes. Right, like every single every person who has grown up in the United States has either seen one of these or owned one of these.
Yes,
or several.
Yes,
if not thousands.
You open up the first page and there's like drawing there's illustrations of like characters that I created from a comic strip called Weirdos, and this is a stick figure next to a poem that I wrote called Cloud People. There's like an assignment on the next page. There's me crossing out an entire letter that I wrote to my teacher about why I didn't make a paper happen.
Wait a minute. Like line by line,
dear,
cross out.
Dear Noel.
Wait, can I read this?
Yeah, can you read it?
Can I read this?
No, this is a must read by somebody else. And if it gets horrific, then you got to read it. But okay, like only if it's untranslatable.
This is going to be a theme for this episode: is Will and Rachel having to read my handwriting from 13 years old,
7-year-old Leon. Take
Dear
it away,
Dear Noel. Before you evaluate my paper, understand what has been happening in my home. I don't have many hours to do my homework on Tuesday and today. Even though I finish it eventually, sometimes my parents make me go to bed when I'm still working. I hope you are all right about the fact that I didn't have time to do the identity poster, and I can't get pound Z and pound 5. Please understand, boo, Elon.
I think you're trying to say numbers. Number
what,
five.
What,
number.
What is pound Z?
So that's a Z.
Pound two? Number two?
Oh, my God.
Pound me too.
Yes.
So I think it takes courage to fight for the things you believe in.
You're writing the next page now?
When I was sad about leaving my old class, I was told to begin the new life. So I wrote a poem to stand for what I believe in, poetic justice. It was difficult to make my oral presentation in front of the class. If I had shown it individually to people who cared, it could have been easier.
Mm. See, I had a hard time in my new school because I was really big into like being super creative and this class was my chance to shine. I'm just sifting through here. We're looking at, you know, my teacher's very eloquently cursive responses to my assignments that I have in here.
Wait, but please tell us what happened with that story. So you wrote this letter to your professor, to your teacher.
Oh,
to
I
ask
don't know.
Her, oh, you don't
I don't know. It's a he. I don't remember what happened. But look, I mean, I'm just sifting through this, and we're just building up to it for no goddamn good reason. There's drawings of the weirdos right here.
Love it.
Awesome.
There's like a stick figure, a blockhead, an alien,
No, it's a series of figures drawn on its lower half of a journal
there's
page,
a guys. Literal butt face. There is a butt
that's
face.
That's like South Park.
Okay, there's literally a person with a butt for a head.
Yes.
Nice.
Love
it's
it.
It's great. We're looking at September, October of 1995. And what proceeds to happen is I decide to, interpolating the music that I was listening to at the time, as mentioned, I decided to make a story. So we're going to just read through this and see just how this shakes out. It's called Alanis the Live Green Goo Goo Chili Cranberry Bush Merchant Blowfish Fighter of the Shaggy Ezra Rapid Eye Spongy Silverchair Asylums.
What is this, a Panic Chapter at the Disco one. Album?
Well, I guess we'll find out. You've got high hopes, don't you?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I did.
Chapter one.
Introduction. This is introduction, not chapter one.
Introduction.
This is an introduction. Damn it, wake up and listen to my story, because you ought to know that all I really want is to be forgiven for thinking of anything else to do. Okay, I'll read the story. But remember, I'm not perfect at storytelling. And if you learn to fall head over feet or get sick, remember that I am not the doctor. Finally, don't think that it's ironic if I just have my hand in my pocket while you're not listening and I still see right through you. By the way, my name is Mary Jane. Call me MJ for short. Here is the story.
Is this about marijuana?
I
cannot.
You're
going to
need to smoke some marijuana when you hear this.
I cannot imagine allotted seventh grade being anywhere near weed.
Nope, didn't happen.
Yep,
not until high school. Chapter one. One day at the dam at Otto Creek, I alone was selling the drama to Warner Brothers. They needed some more props for the stage in Shittown. As lightning crashes, I think back to the days as a waitress for the Pillar of Davidson Italian restaurant. And how I watched the iris bloom in the spring. Unfortunately, I got fired for starting white discussions while spinning the top of death. But now I know, Mr. Manager, that I really should have been all over you.
End of chapter one?
End of chapter one.
Oh, my God. What? Okay. That's, there's definitely some very distinctive imagery.
Okay. Yes.
Shittown.
Shittown.
That's a, that is a song.
And a reference to what seems to be you identifying your school as extra white, or is that a misread?
White discussion was also in a song.
And do we know this use of the word ironic toward the beginning?
Mm.
That, well, again, if you are hearing
these
words,
missing all of this. Yeah.
These are all song titles to albums.
I didn't get any of this.
Yeah, neither did I.
None.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So the introduction were all titles to Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, my God.
And the first chapter that you just heard was to Throwing Copper Live.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So,
I mean, it's you free associating on songs you like.
This is what this whole entire story is. Are we ready for chapter two? You might recognize this. Sometimes when I walk down Stewart and the Avenue,
oh no,
I think of when I fought the Armitage Sharks.
Oh no.
After my restaurant job. They were brats.
Oh no.
Every day they would march chanting the Panic song. They would march chanting the Panic song 86 times. But we got them back with our geek stink breath from eating jaded
brains. I am literally orgasming right now.
This is
I can't even get through it. You're orgasming too much.
Listeners, I am wearing a Green Day shirt as
we
speak.
But we got them back with our geek stink breath from eating jaded brain stew, okay? The best fight was at Tightwad Hill. There were walking contradictions, but that didn't stop us then. But the westbound sign said, if I had no pride in being a soldier, my ungratefulness would be stuck with me forever. But I was cautious.
Thank you, Billy Joe.
That's how I killed Bob Uvalis. Who? Is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know.
Uvalis.
Praise Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord Armstrong.
Chapter three. Let me take this one hot minute to say my many several years have been very warped, but not for my friends. It's been a big tearjerker from all the deaths in the wars, but we always knew that it was a good sign for Shallow to be thy game. One of the crew members was falling into grace and not paying attention to fighting, so he got killed. My closest buddy, named Aeroplane, was a very spiritual fighter. His best attack was the deep kick. It was called that because he kicked people right up the butthole. But it only worked in one big mob. We would spend our days eating peas in the coffee shop. I almost married him. But our transcending was not what we thought. So from that stage, we never saw each other again. Then one day, he went on a walkabout and got shot. Ever since then, I've always learned to never abandon your lover.
I didn't get any of these. Was Aeroplane one?
Yes.
Yeah, I got that one.
And that comes from what band? Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. Thank
you. That's why I knew it. Okay. That's why I knew it.
I was blanking.
Right. Chapter 4. This might be a little...
Wait. Any end impressions of chapter 3?
That was just
three?
Very grim.
Can you please send me the Green Day one so I can show yeah, it to seriously. My best friend?
Chapter 4. This might be a little obscure, so pay attention. There's no need to argue anymore. This is an ode to my family. No doubt about it. Sure, it's a disappointment knowing they're dead, but hey, that doesn't mean that this golden heart of mine is empty.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
The icicle melts. Life goes on, but I still remember the days of the daffodil lament, how we played happily, and the sun would shine. We go swimming in our own swimming hole and then have a pasta dinner. But that was long ago, and I am 50 years old. However, at 21, I was a zombie and had many ridiculous thoughts.
Same.
I know that if you guys were alive today, you and me, underlined, and me, would understand that I can't be with you.
I'm so sorry. Elon, can we get that line again with a little gravitas?
And me would understand that I can't be with you. I'm just too old. When I go to see Yeet's grave, my brother's grave, I remember how he looked up to me as a sister and a person. If you think everything I said was true, you're right. But you're in heaven, and I am below you. That's why I know you'll always be dreaming my dreams with Mom and Dad and Yeet and my grandparents spiritually.
I didn't get a single one of these.
No?
It's a lot of Alanis Morissette.
No, it's the Cranberries.
What?
Oh! What?
Zombies like kind of threw me, but I didn't know.
I threw a lot in there, man.
A zombie.
Ridiculous.
Zombie.
Like, however, at 21, I was a zombie and had many ridiculous thoughts. That's three.
Oh, that is. Jesus
boom, boom, boom.
Christ.
Boom.
No, that threw me, but I honestly thought, because the two things that hit me were when you were dead above me we were eating pasta dinner for some reason.
That was, I don't know why I fucking threw that in. I just loved pasta. All right, this is very obscure. When I started reading through this, I had to, like, I was scratching my head trying to remember it because I almost forgot that I owned this album, so...
Wait. Don't tell us. Just read it. Yeah.
This is chapter 5. Sometimes I wonder of how I became an LGGGCCBMB fighter. No idea. Once I became one, I never did look away. I was so good on the team. Time passed by quickly, and so did the enemies. I was so brutal sometimes that it seemed as if I was running from an angel. That was until I came with a hard decision.
Came.
To kill or to let go. One day, the daughter of the commander of these Native Americans ran off. These natives were brutal. They used drowning people for torture. So anyway, the girl was taken hostage. No, hold on one second.
So,
wait,
what? Going on? Where are
what?
We?
What? That was a divergence? Okay. No, that's
it was a mislead. Yeah, it was a mislead.
They used drowning people for torture. So anyway, the girl was taken hostage. Her name was Hannah Jane. She was so irresistible to look at, I had to let her go, but I couldn't. Then she started to cry. At first, I thought, let her cry. But then I couldn't help it. I let her run off with me. Hold my hand, I said. And as we hid behind the hill, she muttered, I only want to be with you.
I only want to be with you.
And at that moment, I knew I had to do something. Then she said, I'm going home.
I'm going home.
Not even the trees could express the way I was feeling. So I took her home.
Feeling.
In my life, I've always had trouble making decisions, but when I said goodbye to the girl as she ran to her mother's arms, I knew I had made a good decision. Do we know what this album is?
No.
Honestly, no idea. I had
Hootie
two,
and the
I think I had...
fucking Blowfish.
Bullshit. Well, you know what? I don't really know Hootie and the Blowfish that well.
Cracked Rear View, an album that I disowned and gave
Why?
To my parents.
Why?
Well, because it is easy to just leave it on their CD rack. But
I appreciate your use of the word disowned there.
Well, okay, so here's the,
that was so, creative.
Funny enough, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill was so popular in this time.
Would you say that she was flaming?
It was very much flaming.
No, that was
you know,
absolutely
I had
flaming
never heard of that album until like the last.
It's
six
one of the
months.
Best break. It's one of the best breakup albums of all time.
I have never even heard of it.
This album keeps on coming up on this show, and honestly, it's a testament to just how powerful of an impact it had on me at the time. It was, I think, one of the, if not the first. No, the Cranberries beat that to the punch. Female rock album in my collection. So Women in Rock, Cranberries was there early on, and Alanis Morissette. So and Natalie Merchant, which we'll hear in a little bit.
Joan Jett's my bro.
Really?
Alanis Morissette, Shaggy Little Pill was so popular, though, that my parents got their own copy. So there were two copies in the house.
Nice.
We had two copies of Super Mario World because up for Game Boy Advance because we thought we lost one and it was like our favorite game, and so we actually convinced our parents to get us another copy of it.
And then you found the other one.
We found the other one. Fuck, so then we each had our own copy.
Wait, did
of
you
it.
Tell did you please tell me you went running into your parents to be like, let me on the other one?
I don't know.
Chapter 6. I think the stupidest things in my life had happened way before my waitress job. My first job was a weather lady. With such phrases as, what's the frequency, Kenneth? Or,
what's the frequency, Kenneth?
Or, what's happening on Star 69?
What's happening on Star 69?
Or, we're viewing some strange currencies in Chicago. It didn't go so smoothly. Next, I was a clown. I wouldn't say I was the king of comedy, but I never had circus envy. In fact, I was one of the best. For my
circus envy.
Whoa, what?
Let's just touch on this topic just to see what that even is.
Is that a song?
Wait, hold on. I invented that phrase.
Before we continue, I just want to Google very quickly circus envy.
Yeah,
and
stop
see
the story
if this
for a
is a thing.
Okay, why don't you do that? Let me finish this off, but see if you can hear what this might be. Yeah, so I wouldn't say I was the king of comedy, but I never had circus envy. In fact, I was one of the best. For my imagination, that is. Because then and now, I don't sleep. I dream. My partner was sucky, so whenever he played with toy explosives during a show, I would bang and blame him for exploding something. My third job, and job before a waitress, was a stripper. I would get paid to take off my clothes. I usually fell for
Pause. You wrote this in seventh grade, right?
That's right.
So you must have like recently learned what a stripper actually was.
I also spelled paid P-A-Y-E-D. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Because like you felt the need to like prove that you knew what a stripper was.
Okay. I just, yep. Yep. I totally agree with Rachel this, that there's like definitely a little bit of like, hey guys, I know what I'm talking about.
Did you find circus envy?
A little bit. I did find circus envy, but unfortunately,
Get the Google results you were really hoping for?
Well, I didn't get the Google results that I was hoping for, and it totally took what was my guess as to what band this was, blown it out of the water. So before I reveal which band this is, I wanted to ask Rachel if you have any clues.
What band this is?
We're not even done yet with the
story. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please continue.
Circus envy sounds very Freudian.
It is, actually.
I would get let's talk about being a stripper. I would get paid to take off my clothes. I usually fell for hot guys stripping. I mean,
also,
duh.
From
who wouldn't have a crush with eyeliner? When we had sex, I would chat, let me in many times until it was just right. We would do lip service with tongues. I was so good. I felt like I didn't need a boss. He was so outraged. He took all of my money and fired me. But talking to you, former boss, if I was still stripping, I still would have took your name, and that's the truth. English.
Well, that's me in the corner.
Exactly. Indeed, you are correct.
Rage?
Yep.
Any idea what band this is?
I don't know.
That's me in the corner.
Whoa,
That's me in the spot.
Yeah, yeah, what's it called?
Right, losing my religion.
Yeah, what I know them, but...
R.E.M.
Yes.
But this album was called Monster, and I did not really get into it. We have a couple chapters left. Chapter 7. I'm going to just say what album this is, because I barely remember this fucking album. Let Your Dim Light Shine by Soul Asylum.
No idea.
Yeah. But
no idea.
They had an album that came out in 95, not the same album with Just Want Somebody to Shove. I Need Somebody to Shove.
No idea.
or Runaway Train Never Coming Back. Not that album.
That's Flamin'.
Different
that
album.
Is actually,
this is a different album. This is an album with very few songs people remember, but this was like one of the first albums I bought, and I seem to recall I even lost this album at one point and regained it after I had found my Discman. Shout out to Emil Bielecki. Chapter 7. One of the biggest crusades we had ever been on was full of misery, bittersweet hearts, and promises broken. All song titles right there.
Yeah.
But somehow, there was a happy ending. It all started when we heard about a treasure. The treasure was a string of pearls. This wasn't no ordinary jewelry. This was about $2.9 billion. Not kidding. I felt as if I was going to shut down.
Okay, Jeff Bezos.
But I would be surprised if I was just like anyone. During the crusade, I obviously had nothing to write home about. I was just glad we already had equipment, because if not, I wouldn't have been able to use my own devices. If I ever do, I would have to crawl my way to achieve a goal. Then we were there at last. We opened the box, and there it was, the pearls. They looked like blue eyes of a child. Suddenly, the pearls disappeared from our hands. I was freaking out. I was about to give my hopes up until I had to be hopeful. The building would explode in 10 seconds.
Kaboom.
We saw an exit door. We looked down below our feet. Long fall, but we had no choice. We jumped 50,000 feet, dropping altitude really fast. During that time, while I was falling, I closed my eyes and said, "Tell me when it was over." Then I felt a sharp pain in my buttocks. I woke up. It was an itch.
Like inside of it or like on the cheek?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say that it's probably one of the cheeks. Doesn't matter which one. Pick your favorite cheek. Better yet, all my friends were unharmed from the fall because of our armor. I knew that we would have been caged rats if we were not skilled soldiers, but we were. And from that experience, I know that I did my best for me and them.
Wait a minute.
Is that New Demons?
What?
Is that New Demons?
What are you talking about?
Last chapter, was that a reference to New Demons?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, fair. I was wrong. Damn it.
If whatever the reference you think it is, remember that I just spelled paid, P-A-Y-E-D, at 13 years old, so
nice.
I don't think I knew whatever that you were referencing.
Maybe you meant to write
Speed.
Because
I thought it was a song lyric. I really thought it was a song lyric.
What?
I said maybe you meant to write Spade.
Spade.
or oh! Spade like the shovel, or Spade like meow.
Like
ba-dum-bum, or dog.
Incidentally, that's a callback, because Spade, the past tense Spade, came up in The Wizard of Zone.
Oh.
Callback, incidentally.
Flamin'.
Incidental callback to The Wizard of Zone.
Chapter 8 is a mishmash of a bunch of song lyrics. Excuse me, of song titles.
Titles.
Song
titles.
People sometimes mistake us for nobles. Now all they need to know is our name. But people mistaking us for the other people are just the little things of life. I'm proud for who I am, but I'm not everything Zen. I could do what I want. That means I can come down when I want to come down from a cliff, but that doesn't mean I don't want to see the view. I just gotta keep moving. I wonder if the whole world is just a carnival and I am a sideshow. But God, if you are up there, this is a call from Alanis saying, I'll stick around for more if there is more for me. So far, it's a good life, and I could feel in the blood that this is only the end of the beginning. In the summertime, I feel very bombastic and feel going on an adventure again. And I think, I'm not a high school dropout named Molly who just threw 16 candles down the drain. I'm Alanis, who has been through a lot of experiences in her 50-year life. Finally, I imagine what tomorrow holds, because the next day will be another day for Alanis, the live green Goo Goo Chili, Cranberry Bush, Merchant Blowfish Fighter of the Shaggy Ezra Rapid Eye Spongy Silver Chair Asylums. The end.
Wait, so was this all one continuous story, or was this a book of short stories?
This was just a continuous story.
Yeah, this seemed like a continuous stream of consciousness. The last, other than the Alanis, were that actually references to Alanis Morissette?
Let's see.
Because I was treating these as individual stories.
This is all one chapter this, chapter that, all right next to each other. I'm reading through this, and I see Bush lyrics, little things, everything Zen, Come Down. These were all singles by Bush. I think Name and Nobles were Goo Goo Dolls songs. What else? Oh, Carnival was Natalie Merchant, as mentioned. That was making good on my word. In the Blood and Good was better than Ezra. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Summertime is, but Boombastic is, I don't know, a guy named Shaggy.
Wait,
I
could
guess.
It be M is something Summertime?
I don't know. That's a good question.
See if I can't.
Molly / 16 Candles was a song
by 16 Candles reference, right?
Molly / 16 or 16 Candles in parentheses, or whatever, was a song by Sponge that I really liked a lot. What else? That's all I can really catch right now.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got no references out of that except for the word Atlantis, and I thought you
Foo
were
Foo Fighters. I'll stick around.
Oh, I should have caught that. Right, yeah. I should have caught that.
Layman.
This is a call, and I'll stick around or mention there. Right. Yeah, I don't know. This just seemed like a stream of consciousness way to be like, look at all the albums I bought. I'm going to make a big old...
I'm going to string them together.
I'm going to string them together, and it's going to make a whole lot of nonsense. I know how to talk about strippers. Now that we've gotten to comb through some very rudimentary writing from seventh grade, we have an even more rudimentary script to collectively read in this next half hour. Stick around for more exciting sounds from the journals of my youth.
Oh, yeah.
On Lost and Rewound.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back at you on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn's Drive to Five fundraising campaign is underway. In May, RFB turns 5 years old, and we need to raise $25,000 so we can continue bringing you commercial-free independent radio for another 5 years. Because we think raising money should be fun, each month we'll be bringing listeners fun challenges with some great prizes. This month's challenge is a quiz to find out just how well you know Bushwick. The top five scorers will win a limited edition 5-year anniversary RFB t-shirt. Please enter Lost and Rewound as your favorite show when taking the quiz, and I'll get a prize as well. You can take the quiz, make a donation, or find out more at radiofreebrooklyn.org/drive25. You can also dial 718-673-8201 to leave us a message letting us know why you love RFB, or to wish us a happy birthday. Your message may be played on the air.
We have returned. And thank you for sticking around if you have continued to stick with us on this fly of the seat of our pants edition of L&R. As we mentioned before, our shows are normally based in having a guest come in and share some audio, or we sharing audio. Instead, we're breathing new life into the written word. And this journal could not get any fucking life breathed into it. Because
could not get any greener.
Could not get any more life breathed into it, because my God, look how fucking dilapidated and loved it is.
It's amazing. I could read on it. You can't really see it unless you like put it up to the light. It says, Carrie can't write on this, which is clear. Carrie Schwartz was a classmate of mine.
Oh my God.
Who was in my humanities class in eighth grade. I enjoyed this humanities teacher a lot. His name is Leith Murguy, who lives in England, and I ran into him maybe about three, 4 years ago in Park Slope randomly.
What?
One of my favorite teachers of all time. He really encouraged me to just be as silly and zany and creative as possible in these classes and write till I couldn't even write anymore. This assignment was not a free form assignment. This was actually an assignment that he gave everybody. And it was, we listened to The Shadow, which is an old radio drama. It was like based on pulp comics. And we all had to write our own radio drama that interpolated The Shadow.
Oh,
this
shit.
1930s era in the now 90s.
Yeah, and it was a cool assignment. And I mean, for me, as somebody who incidentally was already very familiar with George Burns and Grace Allen, Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, Spike Jonze and the City Slickers. A lot of this like old radio comedy that my parents were so kind enough to give me like a bunch of tapes of, and I just really like absorbed it. So I was into this. We've established our parts. I will introduce and we will set up for whatever this... This is going to be crazy.
Alon's version of
The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks behind the hearts of men? The Shadow knows. Yes, the Shadow. A mysterious man, a punisher of evil, only heard of and never seen. That's only at night. But by day, he is known as regular genius Lamont Cranston, only to his beautiful assistant, Margot Lane. Lamont Cranston, yes, a major in science and a master of mind games. Together with Margot, they plan to teach evil a lesson with the clever tactics of the Shadow. Before we start our exciting program, I'd like to take a minute to talk to you about something that will make you very excited. The AC Delco Spark Plug. The creators of this handy car item guarantee that this spark plug will not only make your car start up better, but it is also sure to make your engine a better one, including making it faster in acceleration. 4 out of 5 drivers that bought the product say that the AC Delco Spark Plug is the best choice for your engine in all situations. So when it comes to finding the right spark plug, turn to AC Delco, because when it comes to making your car start, start with the best. The AC Delco spark plug. And now, it is time to introduce the episode for this chilling story. It's called The Naughty Boy. Our story takes place in a regular market square. Here, many newspapers, fruits, meats, and other things are sold. But little did anyone know, trouble was brewing.
Hey, I hear about in this new movie Marilyn Monroe's starring in.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing about it, too. What's it about?
Well, I hear... Wait a minute. Where did all the apples go?
They were here a second ago.
Heads up!
Oh! Hey, you little stinker. Stop throwing those things at us.
Make me.
That's it. I'm coming after yous.
Worker one starts running towards the boy, but the boy places apples on the ground, which the worker slips on and falls.
No one gets a hold of Froggy.
Scene 2. At Lamont's secret mansion.
Lamont! Terrible news! A kid in the street stole apples from the store today!
I know.
Oh, you know?
Why, of course. The waves in my brain told me that something was bad today. I thought about it more, and I found out a kid had gotten in trouble today at Market Square.
Lamont, what really happened?
Fine. I was walking along as Lamont Cranston in town, and I saw all the commotion since I was in a place.
Not
good to change to the Shadow. Decided to come back here and thank my strategy.
Oh, a strategy?
Why, yes. Ever heard of the saying apples to apples or just plain nuts?
Two for the
same price. One different.
You're not saying...
Yes, Margot. He is one crazy kid for pulling a stunt like that.
But I thought you were trying to say that he might be a match for your superior mind.
Well, that too. You have a point there. That he could be as smart as me. Thanks for helping me figure it out.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right, let's go find where this little rascal is hiding.
Scene 3. While Margot asks clues to the public about the robbery, the Shadow goes on top of the buildings to find hideouts of evil people. What a weird mind he has.
Now, where could he be hiding? Wait, do I see apples on the street down there? I've found his hideout. It should be 3 houses down.
Falls down in trap.
Oof. Where am I?
You're here. In my hideout.
Who are you? You're not.
Yes, I am Froggy. I stole apples from the market today. In fact, I've stolen many things from stores. I am a crook, only 10 years old.
You con artist.
Why, yes. And I am happy. Getting in trouble is fun. Hiding, stealing, it's a class act for me. That's why I like to call myself Froggy.
That's a really creepy name. I'm sorry, man.
Shut up or you'll be sorry.
What's a little kid going to do?
Just you wait and see.
Before we continue our exciting episode of The Shadow, we'd like to give you time to get something to eat or drink. But if it's drink, we hope it's some coffee. Maxwell House coffee, that is. Yes, Maxwell House coffee. Made from the best coffee beans there are. When you drink it, your brain will get a kick. Especially in the morning. Fresh, hot coffee made from the one and only Maxwell House. Many people bought this coffee, and here's one.
I like this coffee. It's nice and pleasant, and that's just how I like it.
So think about it as you're looking for a drink and take our advice. Maxwell House Coffee, for 60 years, waking people up. And now, wake up and smell the coffee as we return to The Shadow. Scene 4. When we last saw The Shadow, he was on the ground dazed from a fall, finding himself in Froggy's hideout. Now he's... Well, find out for yourself, okay?
That kid's good. Really good. He thinks he can outwit me. The Shadow, huh?
Shadow is upside down on a noose, tied up, and he can't get out.
Oh, that's great. Quadruple nodded. Man, I'll never get out. I guess this kid is more than I expected. Help!
How would you like it if I taped your mouth shut?
Tapes it.
No.
Hey, wait a minute. You're the Shadow. Mm. No, you're Lamont Cranston. The famous Lamont Cranston. Oh,
just for our audience, oh my god is spelled O-H. Squiggle, 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 lower squiggle that kind of looks like a Y. Oh,
god, I should have brought the type version of this.
Wait till I tell everyone who the Shadow is.
Let's check in with Margot. Scene 5. Margot is out on the streets asking for something, which I'll tell you in 1 second. I'll turn the page.
He went where?
That way in the alley. 24th Street and White House. Somewhere there. No one by now, the police should be there. Should be on their way now.
What? Lamont, he's in trouble. I'm coming, Lamont.
She knows Lamont Cranston? What a dame. Why would he be in trouble?
Think of it, numbskull. He's not out in the city at this time. Probably reading Edgar Allan Poe in his very own library. Come on, back to work.
Hold on a second.
Scene 5.
Wait. Scene 5A. We're already in scene. Keeping it.
Tension rises as Margot comes to help. Shadow can't speak, and Froggy, well, you get me?
I kidnapped the Shadow, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You want to get away with that?
What's that? You want the masking tape off your mouth?
Yeah.
Too late, Preston. Yeah. Peace.
Oh, why'd you do that? Now you've made mistake. Now you've made a mistake. Now you've Medea mistake. Now you've made pause a mistake.
What? You want me to top out the tape on again?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you that your mother's calling?
What? There's no way she is.
Oh my god, well, that does say is. That's a tight. That's amazing. That really looks like a 3.
While he's turned around, Shadow rocks himself till he can grab a pocket knife from Froggy's pocket.
Hey, give that back.
The Shadow cuts loose.
Stupid kid. No, there's nothing you can do.
You're wrong, Shadow. That right now is probably the police coming to arrest you.
Well, let's just see.
Arrest me!
Well, let's just see.
Got you!
What? Who are you?
I'm Margo Lane. You must be that child delinquent.
Ha! You must be mistaken. That's some other kid.
I don't think so. Doris?
There you are! I've been so worried, Timothy!
Who? Don't call me Timothy, please! What are you doing here?
Take you home! Send you to school! Give you dinner.
Home? Dinner? School? No!
You heard the lady. Go back home.
Wait, I need to show all of you something. I've kidnapped the Shadow. And he's really Lamont Garston.
Cramston, there, son.
Ahem.
Silly. There's no Shadow here. But that is Lamont Cramston. How do you, sir? Why are you here?
Oh, I thought I'd drop in.
Well, you picked a bad time. I'm just about to send the boy and take him home.
And scold her at that.
That's all right. Me and Margo will leave. Come on, dear. Our job is done here.
Walks out and leaves with Margo.
You don't understand, Mom. That guy was the Shadow.
Walking back with him.
That's nice, dear. We'll all talk about it when we get home.
All?
Why, yes. Your father.
Thank you for listening to our program. We hope...
Wait, hold on. Oh, man. I'm late on the scenario. The boss is really gonna get mad at me now. I was supposed to get a Monte Cristo.
A raise. But almost.
Oh, well. Hey, there's nobody else here. It's the end of the show, and I'm here. Yes, I get to say goodbye to the viewers. All right?
Goodbye. I knew I should have stopped at that donut shop anyway.
The end.
Dun. Dun, dun.
I'd like to point out that after all the radio thing that we're emphasizing on this, say goodbye to the viewers.
Logical. Totally
very
logical.
Yeah.
So I just want to point out that there is a particular performer who comes to my show often.
Mm-hmm. Wait, on the Creek in the Cave Sunday show?
Yeah. I'm calling it my show, but it's not my show.
On the show that you work on every Sunday on in Long Island City at the Creek in the Cave at 8 p.m. every Sunday.
9 p.m.
9 p.m., like I said, 9 p.m. every Sunday at the Creek in the Cave. The
open mic where everybody gets paid. Anyway.
The variety show.
There is a regular.
Yes, there is a regular.
All right.
And I was channeling the voice that she, for the mother, that she does when sometimes she'll be singing and it's all improv and like she'll decide to go several octaves higher.
Even though she's trying to do harmony or because she's trying to show off?
Neither.
Okay.
Yeah. And and she gets this like really like whiny kind of thing, and that's what I was going for.
I'm here to be whining.
This was great. I'm so happy that you were able to tap into such an inspired character.
Can we not do this more?
Sure. I mean, there's more where this came from. I'm literally reading right now. This is evidently like movie reviews. There's a thing called E Corner where I talk about Star Wars, the plot, and then the lowdown. And then I do the same thing for Schindler's List.
Amazing.
Okay.
Flamin.
Schindler's List, that's got to be touched. That, like, has to be touched.
You know, it could.
Do we have time?
No, we don't have time. We have no time. But just to give you an idea of the fact that, like, there are two journals worth of simply gems.
And Elon is holding them up as we speak.
There's
a box of old journals out there. I feel like there's so much data that can be mined from these. This is amazing. Like, us reenacting these. Oh, my God. There are so many performers that we know who will come in and love to do this?
I mean, shit. I mean, I think this is a part of the process. It's finding old writings, old sounds, old video, painting the picture, and being able to give it new life. This is one of many components to what makes our show what it is. It's about being able to get embarrassed. I quite literally...
Time to get embarrassed with us.
Literally today allowed myself to put myself on blast for some of the worst handwriting that has ever been seen.
Oh, buddy. Oh, dude.
That was definitely a three. Your S's were threes.
Yeah, no. But it was at least legible. Like to a certain extent, it was legible. Like, we weren't losing that much data, except I will just say, let's get that plan, Monty. Like, let's get that Monte Cristo.
Get this Monte Cristo. Oh my God.
Like, that's how do you get Monte Cristo from the writing of the word plan? That's still, that's amazing. Like that's definitely a misnomer. But wait, like, when we see a 13-year-old dyslexic's handwriting, you're literally going to be like, I can't read this. There is no logic to these squibbles.
Was your handwriting larger or smaller?
Much larger.
It's much larger. Okay.
Got small, it was when I was older. But for the most part, whenever I went small, it was just even more legible.
Well, Rachel, you guys were amazing. That was incredible.
That was really fun. Yeah.
It was truly Flamin'. Flamin' and Gaiman and not like Neil Gaiman. Yeah. What just happened there? Did we just do that at the same time?
We just did.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, thank you for allowing me to play the naughty boy.
Thank you.
Well, you are the naughtiest of all the boys.
Indeed,
that's
indeed.
Very, extremely true.
Thank you for letting me play the shadow.
Yes, and no, thank you out there for listening to some radio drama and some rather stream of conscious journal writing from the mind of Alon Danziger's
seventh and eighth grade self.
Oh dear, Poughkeepsie Day School. Thank you for allowing that mind to be at work. We got to get out of here. And...
Oh dear, Poughkeepsie Day School.
Oh dear. Day school, they're back.
Another example of the PTSD that has been on display many a time. That's a callback. We gotta leave. In the meantime, we wish you a wonderful rest of your Thursday. And again, reach out to us at Lost and Rewound at RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. You know, send us all any and all of what you may have, so you could be a guest on the show and relieve us of having to worry about these rather rudimentary.
You know what? Click. Ideas. Click. Make all the clicks. Do all the viewers. Give us analytics.
I'm Alon Danziger.
And I'm Will Hasty.
I'm Rachel Teichman.
And we'll catch you here next week on Radio Free Brooklyn, Lost and Rewound, signing out.
Look lovely.
know that Hanoi, you're costed on the city.
It's called a havoc. Havoc, not Hanoi. We're not quite there yet.
Wait, can I just read this as it reads? I'm sorry, I love you guys, but just as it reads to me, it literally looks like it says,
"You know what, Hanoi, you're costed on the city, Yukon artist."
Stick to the script, Lamont.